is forgiven, whose transgression is covered. The prophet Micah in the 7th chapter, beginning with verse 16, or rather 18, reads as follows. Who is a God like thee, who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious acts of the remnant of his possessions? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in unchanging love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. Yes, thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt give truth to Jacob and unchanging love to Abraham, which thou didst swear to our forefathers from the days of old. Who is a God like thee who pardons iniquity? We perhaps are often too little aware of the gospel thrust, if you will, that this kind of statement would have had when Micah wrote them, spoke them. The kind of gospel thrust they would have had to any person in antiquity, whose gods were truly jealous gods, fickle gods, changing gods. Sacrifices of men were required that he would not punish them for the absence of the toady obedience which those deities demanded. But the God of Abraham and of Jacob is a God who pardons, a God who is of steadfast love, unchanging love, a God of promise, a God who goes before in that promise. And what comes afterward in the form of man's disobedience means nothing. That changing love is there. That unchanging love is there. That desire to search out the sinner, to bring him again into communion with God, that is changing. That is forever. For the God of Abraham and Jacob demands no sacrifices of men. He sent his Son to be our sacrifice. A strange God to the people of antiquity. And in the milquetoast existence that we often live, a God who truly sacrifices, who searches for the sinner. And by the way, only where the sinner is often a God which is overlooked and ignored. Is overlooked and ignored by the Pharisee of the text just read to us. If this man was truly the prophet whom we expect, he thought, he would see what kind of person this woman really is, a sinner. The implication is clear. If he had that spiritual insight, he would flee from her tears. He would not allow the touch of her repentant hand. But this prophet, this Jesus, was the very Son of the God of promise, the God of unchanging love, the God of compassion and mercy, whose eternal and unchanging purposes are to lead men back from their sins into communion with him. This Jesus searches for sinners. This Jesus recognizes repentance. And that alone is worthy of his forgiveness. He asks for nothing more. No merit, no work, no sacrifices. Repentance. He asks that we go where he is, there at the cross, where there alone and there only does God search out and find the sinner. That's why we have forgiveness of sins in our liturgy. That's why Paul said that there is only the preachment of Christ crucified. For all men are sinners, only sinners. And if God is to find them, there must be repentance of sin. For the clinging to our works and our merit is nothing other than a denial of the eternal God, who by his very nature is love, who by his very promise will be found there where his purposes of forgiveness are to be realized. So the psalmist says, blessed is he whose transgression is covered, whose sin is forgiven. Apart from the forgiveness of sins, there is no blessedness, no hope, no reconciliation, no communion with God. Let our lives, therefore, be lives of daily repentance, a daily asking that God would look upon us as he looks upon his Son, our mediator, as one who is repentant, as one who is in sin, as one who cries out that God be God for us, and the God of promise, the God of Jacob, the God of Abraham, who did swear to our forefathers from the days of old, as Micah says, will give us truth and the benefits of his unchanging love.